Welcome to Get a Grip with Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Get a Grip podcast. I'm your host, Shane Bacon. Really fun one this week with Mr. Max Homa. He came on to chat about the Ryder Cup week. We talked about the Dodgers. We talked about the Lakers. We talked about Cantlay. We talked about it all. I mean, we hit all the notes, talked about his great week, his best shot from the Ryder Cup. So you're going to enjoy this one. Pretty lengthy one for this here podcast, so we'll get to it in just a minute. I'm going to tell you three things, I think, actually. One is I wrote a children's book. It's called The Golfer Zoo. You should order it for the new parent in your life or somebody that's expecting for the first time, or if you have multiple kids that like golf or maybe you want to get into it. It's kind of good for all those ages. It's called The Golfer Zoo. If you go to Back 9 Press, that's with a number 9, back9press.com/bacon, you can order it right there. I have signed copies as well if you're interested in that. So that's one thing. Thing number two is I also have another podcast beside this one. It's called the Ping Proving Grounds Podcast. I do it with my pals at Ping. And I do it with Marty Jurtson, who I think is the smartest person in golf. And we have a lot of different episodes. We've had Victor Hovland on, who obviously had a great Ryder Cup. Tyrrell Hatton was on a few months ago. We just did one on adaptive fitting. And I think it's the most interesting episode we've done to this point. For all of you that don't know a lot about that world, dive into it, because it's crazy to learn about all that goes into the adaptive fitting and how many different steps are taken so that everybody in the world can play golf. So shout out to Ping and Marty and everybody around the company there that does such a great job with that, because it was a subject that I'm very, very glad I'm more enlightened in than I was before I got a chance to host that podcast. The third thing is, I know the Ryder Cup's done. I know the Solheim Cup's done. Good news for you is we have Korn Ferry Tour Finals this week. They'll be on Golf Channel starting Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern, all throughout the weekend. Korn Ferry Tour Finals, it'll be me, it'll be James Nitties, Gary Christian, Chantel McCabe down on the grounds as well. So tune into that if you're itching for a little golf over the weekend. And that's all I got. That's it. I got the book. I got the Ping Podcast. I got golf this weekend. Let's get to Max Homa. Max Homa's with us. Max, how are you? Did you wake up at a weird... I texted you at like 7 Eastern this morning, and I think you responded right away. I'm assuming you're not quite back to normal yet?
No, because I fell asleep at like 7:30 last night. Lacey went to bed an hour earlier than me, so I think I'm still pretty messed up. But it's been nice. That's like the best part of traveling west, is I feel so productive. You get a lot done before 7 a.m. So it is nice, but yeah, I am looking forward to making it up late enough to finish the baseball games that are going on. I didn't think I'd struggle at 7 p.m.
I was going to ask you off the top. I am not a baseball person at all, but I was looking. Obviously, the Dodgers are in the postseason again. Can you give me your 5-second thoughts on the playoffs and where you think the Dodgers might go?
So my theory has been that the Dodgers have had mass expectation every year for the past decade, especially the last 5 years. They didn't do anything really in the offseason. They have an amazing farm system that keeps showing out. I thought that this could be the year where the expectation was low. It was on the Padres. To all Padres fans out there, haha, that was hilarious. So I thought that maybe that vibe would carry them through. This year, the only trouble is, Walker Buehler, got hurt and he's not going to get the pitch. So that's a humongous hit. And then, speaking of hits, Julio Urias did the worst thing you can do, and now he will not be pitching. So, one unfortunate, a bummer with Walker, and then one obviously, bad news, horrible, if it is true, allegedly, as the kids say, if that's true, that's awful what Julio did. So I'm optimistic, but it's just nice. Shoot, man, we're into the playoffs every year as a fan is all I could ask for. But the pitching is the only thing. We still have our guys, Kershaw and whatnot, but it's you never know. All these past 10 years, I thought they were going to win the thing, and then they got one. And that's why I'm kind of my thought is maybe this is what they need, just not as much hype. So I have my fingers crossed, but I'm looking forward to watching.
Joe's beard is in need of like a full shave again. You know what I'm saying?
Full summer trim.
Let that thing get cut down. Listen, you don't get off seasons. This is a big golfing joke, obviously. What is like your next golf tournament? Like, when do you, are you playing like Hero? Like, what is your next thing?
Yeah, I'm probably going to do a Euro event sometime before Hero. But yeah, there's like a few lists. I think possibly the Nedbank in South Africa. I've always wanted to play a lot of these events that you see on TV. Wentworth's one of them, but it's the same week as the Fortinet. And then, so I'll hopefully get to play that at some point. Then there's events in Australia I've always wanted to play. I know we've talked about that a lot. Australia was going, that's what I really wanted to do, but it's, I think, the week before the Hero, and I looked at a map, and Australia to Bahamas to Arizona seemed a lot, so I bailed on that one, but it's just nice that we have this now.
It's not real close. this Bahamas to Australia might be about as far as you can go. Like, I'm trying to think, like, do you think it's further from the Bahamas or from, like, London to Australia, you know?
I looked at a map very briefly in this research that I did. I think you'd have a better chance just digging and going like through the Earth's core. I think you get there faster.
That's right.
So, but it's just so nice to have a real off season because there's so much I watch on TV this time of year that I feel like I've never gotten to experience. But yeah, I'll definitely do the Hero in December. And yeah, so it's nice. I mean, I have maybe two events left for the whole year. It's going to be awesome.
I mean, like, for people that don't travel a lot, and you travel all the time, I travel a decent amount, not nearly as much as you. You're probably on the road twice as much as I am a year.
Yeah.
The thing about it is when you travel a lot, when you get home, you just want to be at home, right? Are you going to, like, sit on the couch all Sunday or all Saturday a few weekends in a row and, like, really get to kind of enjoy not having to not be at home? Like, are you such a psycho that you're going to, like, still go out and practice on Saturday and Sunday because you can't help it?
I don't know. I have like little things going on. I'm going to Monterey for a day on this Sunday, so I won't get to just grind football all day. But I mean, I'm definitely planning on sitting for quite some time on peak football days at some point. But yeah, it's just, you obviously, like, the not having to go places for a week is huge, but still have a little bit here and there. But I'm going to, there's so much stuff I've been procrastinating at my house that I need to do. So in a way, I'm looking forward to doing all of that. But yeah, I mean, this is a first since I turned pro in 2013. I have never had more than, I think, 4 weeks off, like true 4 weeks off. Last year, I looked up, I think I traveled last year, something like 35 weeks of the year, if you added up all this stuff, golf tournament plus like little sponsor stuff. So this year will be, you know, I would say probably 4 or 5 less, which is cool. I'm really hoping to like go to California and see my friends and family, little things like that. But for the most part, I'm gonna park it here on my couch and enjoy some time at home. My son turns 1 this month, so that'll be awesome to get to plan and help do stuff like that. But it's just crazy it's almost too much freedom. I don't know what to do with myself.
Can you give me a top 3 list of like honeydews that you've been procrastinating to do? Because I mean, I've easily got a 3 list right now that I've been pushing off.
Easily, yeah. The door from my garage to my house is loose, and I went to do it one day. I will say I went to try to do it one day and bought the wrong screws. So that pretty much, that was a month ago. So I decided just to wash that one until I was done.
It's done. I tried.
My actual garage door is a disaster. So I need to find out if I can fix it. And if not, I need to buy a new garage door, which is a whole project. Other than that, there's just a lot of things. I have a pile in my closet that is just box after box after box of stuff. And I really need to go through that. But I was really I absolutely milked the Ryder Cup and just kept telling Lacey every time after the Ryder Cup, I need to focus on the Ryder Cup.
I'm focused on the Ryder Cup. Well, let's talk, by the way, let's talk about the Ryder Cup. Appreciate you coming on. I listened to about 3 minutes of you on No Laying Up and then paused the episode because I figured I was going to ask you similar questions. I didn't want to get your answers already. Go listen to Max on No Laying Up. Obviously, if you listen to the podcast, you probably already listened to that podcast. So not like I have to tell you to do that, but, wild week in Rome. I know you guys obviously want to win. You had a great week. You had a great President's Cup. I've touted your Walker Cup record of being the only guy that's ever made a hole in one in the Walker Cup in the history of the event. You like these team events. I can see it the way you play. You can see it in the reactions. You were telling, I think it was Pardon My Take, you said something about telling somebody about the President's Cup, and they said to you, well, wait till next year because it'll be 75 times bigger. Was the Ryder Cup to you 75 times more intense? Like, was that a true statement?
Yeah, it was Fooch, and he was caddying for Justin Rose when we played together, and he came up and asked me, he goes, was I right, or did I oversell it? And I, if anything, he undersold it. It's just the intensity between the two teams is a lot more.
Okay.
It's nothing away from the President's Cup, but I just think that the United States has won the President's Cup so much more often that it's not as heightened. Like going over there this year, we all knew, like, it's been 30 damn years. And I feel like we all took that on and we wanted to be the team that broke that. And obviously we didn't, but you could feel that intensity. The fans over there they're coordinated and they are amazing and ruthless all at the same time. But simply the first hole and especially the first tee alone, I've just never seen anything like that. There was a lot of people at the President's Cup. It was pretty remarkable. But first tee alone had, I think, 5,000 people just in the stands. And I'll never forget the scene every day, but especially that very first day, standing on that tee and teeing off and then walking down the fairway. And it's just, there's something about it being one continent that everyone is banding together for. And also, obviously, we were on the road, but it was just different. We felt the love in Charlotte at the President's Cup. However, I just think the history of the event and the passion, like that I would just say, especially the Europeans have, brings it out of you as well. And you know what it means when you have people like, you know, two of the greatest in the game and that will go down as two of the best of all time, and Rory and Rom, that passionate about this event, I think it just brings out so much. And there's just something to be said for the fact that at the President's Cup, Hideki and Adam Scott, who are boys, they play together and they're their two, I would say, most notable careers up to this point. Obviously, there will be people who follow suit, but at this point, but one's from Japan and one's from Australia. And it's just a different vibe where I just think that those guys, it's easier for them to be friendly. And I think that it shows in just, again, the passion of each team. And it was crazy. I mean, it was intense on our side in our team room. And I expected that, but just the passion of the fans and everything kind of out on the golf course was borderline like overwhelming. So it was just cool to even just experience. Even Lacey said like she couldn't believe how much fun it was.
You know, you brought up Rory and Rahm, you bring up Adam Scott and Hideki, and it's a great point, right? I mean, I think something everybody's talked about in terms of, you know, the Ryder Cup and the way the Europeans go about it is like, check the ego at the door, let's go in, let's play as a team, I'll play with whoever I feel like is the best fit for me, yada yada yada. Like, we've heard about their approach throughout this whole thing. You're friendly with Rory, you're friendly with John Rahm, like these are guys that you're buddies with. During that week, is there, even in practice rounds when you guys see each other, do you feel like a distance from the other side even before the competition gets going that maybe you don't feel in golf anywhere else?
It's definitely different. I mean, I made it a point to say hi to the guys when I'd see them, especially like in the practice round days, and say what's up. But it's definitely more icy when you get to the course the day of the, you know, Friday, the day it's kicking off. They do one dinner with both teams and they split the teams up. So I actually had dinner with Rahm and his wife, Kelly. And obviously you're mingling and making small talk. But I mean, I'd be lying if I said, but the weeks leading up to the Ryder Cup, once I knew I was on the team, I watched a bunch of the old YouTube videos, and I was doing it part just to see and part to show Lacey how crazy it is. And then part, honestly, I just want to grow a hatred for all of them. Cause I think that's what's funny is we do actually all get along pretty well. Like I like all those guys. It's hard not to like. Tyrrell Hatton is an incredible dude. Matt Fitzpatrick's awesome. I've gotten friendly with so many of them. Tommy Fleetwood, like one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. So it's hard to like get yourself up to really dislike anybody on that team. But you could tell that it's a competition. And I think for the moment you set foot on the practice grounds when everyone's there, I do think that you can feel a little bit of that, but it's not anything crazy. You just can tell. I mean, you might, it was one of those things. Like if I said hi to Shane Lowry, let's say on Tuesday, I'm not going to go out of my way again on Wednesday to go say hi to him.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
It's just little things like that. You notice, you know, they, our team practice on the right side of the range. Theirs is on the left. On the putting green, it seemed like they were typically on the high side. We were on the low side. It is distance, but nothing in a weird way, just kind of what you would expect if, you know, if in an NBA, shoot around, I'm sure they pass by each other, but I doubt there's a ton of chit chat. It's just a little bit of mingling here and there.
Well, I mean, and like to that NBA point, like a regular season game that's in November, middle of November or early December, Steph might go over there and talk to LeBron for 5 minutes. But if it's game five of the playoffs, they're probably not doing that, right? So, like,
yeah,
there's obviously a big difference in terms of, I mean, this event is so elevated and so important and also dynamic because it's so different than everything else you guys face in golf that it almost comes naturally to an athlete that is so unnatural to a golfer, right?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, I would say I only talked to Rory one time before the end of the tournament, and it was the gala night or the dinner night. And it's because we got kind of both, we're going in this elevator at the same time. So just said hi. So it's just different in that. It's not that you're going out of your way not to. You're not around them very much, and they play one side of the golf course every day. You play the other. You might walk by them on the bridge to the range, but it's not like you're going to stop and catch up, I guess. That just felt like a bit of the difference where there are certain guys, like I said, Tyrrell is somebody I usually go up to and just say hi to and chit-chat with a little bit. And I guess I did that a bit. I wanted it to still feel like a golf tournament. But you could just tell it was them against us, and I liked that. Like that's how it should be, and it was fun because it was kind of building to Friday and what was going to kind of go down on the golf course.
All right, I want to go into your YouTube archive dive or internet dive. Was this like you looking through YouTubes? Did you have somebody like internally at the Ryder Cup?
No.
That sent you old highlights or anything like that?
No, it's just they need to do a better job of putting more.
Oh my God, don't get me started on this, Max.
Up there. There's only a couple matches. They had JT Rory, their singles match in Paris is a good one.
Yep.
They had Tiger Rahm is a good one. They had a few more like kind of team, but it feels like every match should be on there. They're only 30,
everyone
40 minute videos. So I watched as much as I could, especially of the away ones, watched some of the Belfry, but like the Belfry only had like two. So I just kept typing in, you know, Ryder Cup 2014, Ryder Cup this. And I watched as many as I could find, but there wasn't as much as I thought that there would be.
It's crazy that in 2023, you can't just go watch everything that's old that's ever happened in sports. Like, even if it's through the, like, if it was NBC at the time that was putting it on, like, go through Peacock. If you have a subscription, you can see them. But I did a lot of the same thing, like, kind of refreshing my mind as I was getting closer to the Ryder Cup. Like, I watched JT Rory. I forgot how many putts they missed. My God, they hit it so close all day long and didn't make anything in Paris, you know. But, like, kind of going through some of those old matches, and it's a good reminder. But I wish, just like you're saying, like, I wish some of those old clips were on there. Also, Max, a side tangent, how do we used to watch golf when it was not in HD and there wasn't a tracer? Like, those early, if you go to YouTube and watch like 06 Ryder Cup, it's like, I can't even see the golf ball.
It is crazy though. Even just the transformation of the event itself, the Belfry first tee, there's it's like a normal grandstand behind the tee. I mean, there was probably 75 people, and then if I could just transport you to where we were, you couldn't not, everywhere you looked there was thousands of people. I will say though, as bad as the YouTube kind of lack of matches were, and we are in 2023, I have heard that watching the actual golf live this week wasn't particularly easy either.
I guess.
I will start with live would be better than maybe rerunning it back, and when we could baby step our way towards some better years down the road coverage.
That's why you're the golf czar. I want to go to the hat off chip in. You started walking like Tiger in Melbourne. Did you know it was going in? Like, when you started the walk, did you know it was going in?
No, I didn't even know when
it. Oh, wait. Come on.
I didn't know it. I only needed to get up and down. And
okay.
I didn't even know that I made it until Joe said I need to get the ball out of the hole. I was over the chip, and Harm hit an unbelievable tee ball. He got real cocky on that tee. He made a sick par putt on 15 to keep us whatever that would have been, keep us dormy, I think it was, yeah. And then he flagged it on 16, and he got cocky, and the ball's 100 yards off his club face, and he looked over at me, Country, and Joe, and said, "Anybody see that? I didn't happen to see that. Where's that going?" And I mean, it was going right at the cup. And then we get up there, and Step left his eagle putt hanging on the edge. I do not know how it didn't go in. Shane was running already around the green, like about to go bananas. And so I had this easy chip, and it was one of those where, like, before I hit it, Joe was standing next to me with the towel, and I just said, "Say goodnight, Joe." And I hit it, and it landed right where it was supposed to. Like I said, it's pretty basic. Once it started rolling, it wasn't going to get out of the gimme zone. So I just started walking at Harm, and I just looked at Harm and said, "Say goodnight, Harm." And I don't know, you become kind of an asshole during these Ryder Cups when you're trying to celebrate. I've talked to Justin right about it. You all of the corny, dumb things that I'm sure Shane and Sepp were making fun of me about, it just, it brings it out of you. You want to do it. You want to be a clown at times. And it was fun to have that opportunity. But yeah, when I watched the video, it wasn't so much like I had no idea it was going to go into the hole. I just knew the moment it hit the ground that I was not going to be hitting another shot that morning. So it was fun. You know, we were all on edge. We were so frustrated with how Friday went. And Harm and I really wanted to go out and do what we knew we could do in that foursomes format. We got rinsed the day before by two phenomenal golfers in Ludwig and Victor. So it was fun to go out there and just get some red on the board and finish a match off. And that's what, I don't know, it like I said, it brings out a lot in you. And we were intense and hyped up, and it felt really freaking good to be able to have the stage to ourselves, knowing that if we get this thing up and down, it's over. And it's also really easy to play with Harm, because when you're chipping, you just have to get it on the green and you'll get up and down, because Harm will get to putt it for you. So I was in a very comfortable situation.
I mean, it was Max. The hat was off.
it was.
I mean, the camera didn't even like. I think the Golf Better Tucson, Derek sent out a clip, like a different clip of this. But the initial clip that floated around for a couple of days, I mean, I said it like on Twitter. It was literally the Royal Melbourne clip, and it was actually Max the Royal Melbourne clip that was like late edited. Yeah, that they edited. Yeah. When Tiger was like walking like off the face. It was an unbelievable celebration, easily my favorite celebration of the week, which now puts you 2 for 2, because the President's Cup celebration was the best that week. So now you're like, you know, you're kind of like sweeping these events.
I do. I just feel like JT and I are on the same level here. I think I imagine he does what I do. I kind of pictured things I'd like to do, and then you get in these spots where like, dang, like I might actually get to try this out if I could pull this shot off.
You're like a wide receiver.
Exactly. So yeah, basically I had the Sharpie in my sock, just like Terrell Owens. So I definitely had thought about a couple of those things, but it's especially easy to do it over there because you're getting yelled at the whole day.
Right.
So I think that everything I tried to do, and I hope it came off like this, other players, I guess, but I never wanted to like show up the other players we were playing. It was more at the fans. The fans were driving me insane. For good measure, they did an amazing job, but they just wear you out. So it's kind of nice to get to look at them, and basically all of my celebrations are at them, not at the other players, obviously, as we got killed. But that's what makes it fun, is I kind of wanted to hit the chip and start walking and have the entire crowd know that this one's over. All the yelling didn't work today. And
is it mean? Is it like, are the fans mean, or are they just relentless? Like, what are you getting from them?
It's all the above. I would say that you're just watching alcohol perform out there, because in the morning,
gotcha,
they're a lot more tempered and they're more just at you. And it's funnier and it's more coordinated as the day goes on. It gets nastier, and I don't have a real line. None of it like was crossing the line, I didn't think, but it definitely does get nastier. I mean, you do have a lot of people, just a lot of people yelling, get in the water and you're going to choke, and your normal things. And then you do get people who are being actively mean. The guy on 15, the reason I yelled at him, that guy was, I wouldn't say over the line, but he was just pushing the limit of like, we got it. Like, we get the point. The players on the European team, especially the ones in my group, were really good about it. Like, when people were – because you stay on these tee boxes and you're very close, especially in, like, foursomes, and four ball, you're like kind of standing waiting for your guy to hit, and you're just like very close to the other fans, and they'll just keep talking to you and where and kind of just giving it to you. And again, a lot of it is fine. It's in the spirit of what the, you know, it's they're against me. I get that. But there's a couple of times that I got a little bit just like, yeah, okay, this is extreme. But I know that we do that too. It's no knock on them. But I looked at it as, especially as the week went on, I was getting more and more tired as everybody was. And I just kept looking at it as, please keep being mean to me because you're
right.
You're giving me energy. Like you are truly energizing me every step of the way. I was gassed Saturday afternoon. And when that guy on 15 was wearing me out for 5 or 10 minutes, like all I want him to do looking back now is just keep doing it. Cause I will, again, I have nothing against Tommy. I have nothing against Nikolai, nothing against the entire European team. I had everything against that guy. So it was like,
right.
Give me a reason to wear you out. And that's, so it was fun, but yeah, there's some nasty. I mean, I joked with Harm all week though, that I was so stoked I was going to get to play with him because I wear Harm out about his height. And I got to take all these jokes and I told him I'm going to microwave them and use them again down the road because there's a lot that are funny.
Perfect them.
When he's on my team, it felt like one of those things, like I can make fun of my friend, but you can't.
Yep.
So that's what it felt like. You get once I started hearing that, I was like, oh, no, it's not funny anymore. Like, yeah, I can say that stuff. You can't. So I just feel like it helps you band together. But yeah, some of it is, it's just unnatural. You don't have people yell, get in the water while you're, you know, right as you make contact. But I liked it. I think that's the beauty of playing over there. And then them having to play over here. I am nervous for Beth Page because I don't know. I'm very scared, but whatever. We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah, it was funny. I was playing golf yesterday and we were talking about that exact topic, Max. I mean, living up in the Northeast now, like knowing the sports fans, seeing what the country club was like at that US Open, it's like, if there's going to be a tipping point, I'm a little nervous for Beth Page. And like you said, we got a couple of years to figure it out. But I mean, you know, do you like stop serving booze at noon? Like, what do you do there to like avoid just the guys getting really, really gnarly because you know they're going to take it to a place that they want to take it to? And I mean, you know, the other thing too, Max, is like they've been relative blowouts lately. It's like, what if the Euros are up, you know, 9-5, 10-6? It's like, all it's going to do is get nastier from the fans. You know, it's like when there's that opportunity for the away team to win. Is that hard? Is it a harder thing for caddies? Cause like we saw the LaCava situation. And I mean, I know a lot of that was kind of spurred on by Patrick getting so much grief for 17 holes from fans, you know, and obviously LaCava's got to take that. Is it harder on somebody like Joe in your space dealing with fans kind of chirping you all day and he having to be the guy that's like, shut up or keep it down or, you know, knock it off or even pointing them out to marshals? Like, is that harder on a caddy than even it is on the player?
I'm sure it is. Now, Joe didn't ever, we never told anybody to be quiet. We let him rock. Now the guy on 15, Joe stared at for a while, basically like essentially his eyes home, just shut up. Not that that guy cared, but I know that they can feel, but the difference is this is one of those events. Like, when we made a putt, Joe would go crazy too. Ellis would go crazy. Country would go crazy. Like everybody, all the caddies finally get to do, they don't have to be stoic like they normally do. We could all cheer. And I think getting that extra energy out was good because it made it worth them, I'm sure, hearing. You could also just get like mad. Like Joe can look at me and be like, you know, F that dude. Like, you know, it's like a different, because we don't have to pretend like everything's so, we're just going to be so perfect here. It's like, we're going to use that guy to perform better. So I imagine it is hard. Obviously the LaCava thing was crazy Saturday night. It was one of the funniest things I've been a part of in my life, but I do think there has to be some understanding that Joe had his, one of his jobs and something that he's great at, obviously working for Tiger for so long, but he protects his guy. And I just think that you could tell he was sick of them just giving it to Pat all day. And we also didn't know what they were giving it to. We thought they were just talking about him not wearing a hat. We didn't understand that there was all this going on.
Right.
So Joe LaCava also the same thing. I'm sure he was just like, this is getting a bit much. I'm over it. And we all thought it was just funny and whatever. Obviously you can argue about how everything went down. It obviously got a little bit crazy, but we all were just like, yeah, Joe's had to deal, like kind of burden this a little bit. I thought Pat handled everything amazing. It was probably exhausting for the whole day. We only saw it for 3 holes. So the environment's so different to a regular week that I'm sure the caddies take on a lot more than normal.
So I mentioned President's Cup. You know, you're in that moment last year where you have the putt and everybody's around the green, right? And then you flip it this year at the Ryder Cup with the Cantlay putt on 18, and you're around the green with everybody watching. How different was that dynamic, being a guy watching the dude make the monumental putt versus being the dude make the monumental putt in front of everybody last year?
Oh, man, it's so fun. I would say that one of my favorite things about these team events, and it might be my favorite part, is when you're done or not playing and you get to watch with the boys.
Right.
Especially in the fairway, you have to be inside the ropes. It's so cool. I ran back after my Sunday's match to watch JT finish. I'm walking down the middle of the fairway, and then he stops and just walks with me. It's something very different. You know, we're just talking like normal in a way. It's very different. It's fun. And we hadn't had anything good go our way on the last hole.
Right.
We hadn't flipped a match. And I know we were getting killed, but it did feel like it would have been nice. As I kind of was talking with Colin as we're walking on 18, I was like, can we just get one flip? Like one thing so we go to bed happy and we can all go back to team room laughing instead of like what just happened again. They were so good on the 18th hole. Rahm made the putt. Victor made the putt. Everybody seemed to flip us on the last. Rose made the putt. And when he made it, it just felt like I was still so nervous Matt or Rory were going to make it. But it just felt like finally we have like some momentum. And then all the controversy and chaos, you know, gets brought to our attention. And then it just became funny. I mean, that was one of the most fun, like, 4 hours I have ever remembered. So getting to be on the side and kind of chit-chatting with the guys and, like, what's going to happen? What do you think? Oh, where's the – you know, it's just all of that is a blast.
Do you feel like a kid? Like, do you feel like a kid?
Oh, you feel like you shouldn't be allowed, like, to have that much fun and be that close. And then getting to watch greatness. Watch Pat, 10-footer, 9-footer, 34-footer, three in a row. Last one in the dark. Like, you get to watch greatness up close. One of the coolest, most clutch things I've ever seen in golf, but especially in a Ryder Cup. I know it was in a losing effort for our team, but what he did those last three holes to give us any kind of hope was special beyond special. And yeah, just to get to be that close and get to celebrate and do the hat thing and all that, it really does feel too good to be true.
Where did you have Rory McIlroy screaming at Bones in a parking lot the day before the Ryder Cup ended on your potential things you thought might happen that week? Was that like top 10 or maybe like just outside your top 20 of things you thought?
Definitely not on my bingo card. Very weird video. Poor Bones. Bones is...
It was crazy when it came out. Like, I don't know, where were you when that was going on? Were you like...
In the team room.
Inside?
Yeah, where Rory was pointing.
So is that like inside that area?
Yeah, so Rory, okay. I think, was pointing at our room.
Okay.
And Bones got caught in the crossfire. I'm glad, obviously, Rory apologized to Bones, because Bones is like...
For sure.
Our teddy bear Labrador retriever. Nobody messes with Bones. So... It was just surreal to see Rory and Bones. Rory is seemingly, which he wasn't, but seemingly screaming at Bones like they were going to fight or something.
Right, right.
Obviously, that's just more what the camera looked at. Then seeing Matt Fitzpatrick in the background, his eyes beyond wide, was hilarious.
And Victor's behind him.
I mean, it was very funny. But yeah, I did not have that on my list of things I thought I'd see, but made all of it even better. You love a little bit of drama, so it was cool.
I mean, you're in the team room. Is somebody like, hey guys, Rory just lost his shit on
Yeah,
Bones.
Actually,
like,
yeah.
Is somebody coming in there and telling you guys that?
No, so I was going up the stairs and one of the team manager type people was like, hey, did you see the Rory video? He Golf Central or something just dropped it and he's losing his mind. We first heard was Rory just got in a fight in the parking lot. And I'm like, what? Oh, I was like, with who? Because LaCava is sitting right next to us. Like, who did he fight?
They're like,
and
Bones.
Then we got the video. And you see him obviously not getting a fight. He just was upset. But then I'm sitting inside and we're golfers. We're dorks and nobody's ever going to do anything. But we're all sitting inside and I'm just yelling like, you know, wish you would come in here. Like, come on in here, you know. At that point, everyone's so mad and whatever. But
hold me back.
But that was what was funny. I mean, I still don't really know what happened. I kind of asked Bones. Bones just said it was obviously Rory was upset and But it was just, yeah, it was, we were so close to it and didn't get to see it. But the videos, all of us, you know, everybody, I'm sure like they did too. Everyone's watched it laughing. And because when everybody looks back on that in like a week's time, it's going to, and especially like in a year's time, like it's going to look like the funniest thing ever that Rory, who's a very sweet man, is yelling at the sweetest man I know. It just is like, what are we doing here, boys? Like, let's just go home and get in the ice bath and go to bed.
But I mean, in the moment though, Max, to your point, is like in that moment, you guys are fired up too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, everybody's done this. Like every time you've been in an argument or a fight, you take 5 minutes away and you go, that was probably not worth it. But like in that moment, you're like, yeah, you know what, guys, you know, I mean, it's just so interesting. Like you said, 10 minutes away, but at the time it was like exactly what the Ryder Cup needed, you know?
For sure. When we were sitting on the green and they started going back and forth at each other, I mean, I told Jess, I said, I thought we were going to all fight. And I was like, I'm glad we have Brooks on our team because Brooks can handle a few
Where's
of those
the bullpen?
Guys. Yeah. So it really felt like for a second it was going to be like a baseball game where I'm like, all right, well, I got to go find a guy now. We got to fight this thing out. We're losing on the scoreboard by a
Where's
million.
Fitzpatrick?
I might as well get a couple licks in. So I don't know.
Where's
it was very surreal. But again, as golf's the ultimate hold me back. Sport. Nobody ever actually is going to do anything, but that was it just made the event more entertaining, and it made us all have, and I think it worked out for both teams. They went to bed pissed off
for sure.
We went to bed happy, laughing, and also heated. So it was kind of, I think it worked out for everybody, and it just gave some juice to that last day.
I messaged you after the scouting trip to Rome, and I said, you know, is there anybody, like I said, are you playing with Colin or likely to play with Colin? You said probably. Obviously, you play with Brian Harman. When did that kind of switch for you? Because it felt like you might be teamed up with Colin, and then you obviously played with Brian and played really well with him. When did you realize that it was going to be Harman as kind of your partner for the week?
When we got there Monday, that's kind of when we found out, like, the potential plan, or at least the day one plan. The stats guy said that Harm and I for foursomes was going to be a very good statistical team. So it made sense.
Did you buy into that? Like, are you into that right away?
I don't think there's anybody on that team that I wasn't like really looking forward to playing with given if I got the opportunity. But on the scouting trip, you know, we played two rounds and I played both of those days with Harm and not as necessarily partners, but in my group, I've gotten real close with them the last year or so, and we get along really well. And I really like the way he plays golf, and I like the way he thinks, and I like just his demeanor and all of that. But again, I could have done that with a lot of people. But if you had to ask me kind of who's your random, maybe not your closest buddy that you could see working, it would have been him. I don't know what the numbers – I didn't know what the numbers said. So it was cool to hear that we did, and we did fit. And it's always kind of – interesting when you do foursomes because somebody always leans one side of like, you know, odds or evens. Yeah, and I guess the way Harms and mine worked out was it was pretty much as close to a perfect fit of, you know, I'm gonna hit X amount of irons and then more layup tee balls. He's gonna hit more of the regular tee balls and he's gonna get to putt more. So once you kind of start to think about who you're gonna play with and you can see how the round could work out, it made so much sense. So then I got super excited because it started to make Harman doesn't miss like any fairway. So I felt like I was just going to be in the middle of the fairway every hole and get a free run with an iron on every hole. And then he was going to putt the birdie putts. It just felt like it was going to fit really nicely. So once you got to find out who your teammate was going to be or partner was going to be, and then you could start to go through the golf course, it got really exciting.
All right, so Americans have struggled an alternate shot. I mean, this isn't something new. This has been a historical thing. It's just been a part of Americans' struggles in Ryder Cups for, you know, 30 years or whatever. Is there, as a player that has become one of the best in the world and that will most likely be at Bethpage, I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but I mean, I think you and I both think you'll be there. What do you think needs to change on the American side, if anything, to potentially improve on that one format that has always been kind of the outlier in terms of struggles for the American side? And is there schedule additions or something to do in terms of like away from like a Ryder Cup year, anything like that to maybe find cohesion in that format? Or is it just kind of is what it is?
Yeah, I really don't know, man. I it's definitely not just one thing, because it would be sticking out, and I can't think of what that would be.
Right.
It feels like it is what it is thing, although even that doesn't make sense, because if you took the 24 best golfers in the world or close to it in this format, 12 best from each side, like at some point it should come down to very close to 50-50 in every single session.
Right.
And we clearly struggle in foursomes. I don't know. The cohesion didn't make sense, because I thought this year and just seemed like everybody was ready to play with anybody. So I really don't know. I don't know if I needed to fly out to Sea Island and I needed to play more golf with Harmon and we could practice foursomes more. I don't know.
Right.
If my only thing, I guess, looking back, I wish we would have done differently for the event, which has gotten there a couple of days earlier, if I had to pick. But even then, I don't know if the golf course is open. I don't know if that's a feasible thing to do. So I don't know. It doesn't really make sense that we don't play. Like I said, I'm not expecting us to sit up there and drum them in any of the sessions, but the fact that we've been on the wrong end of those things and forced them so often, it is very bizarre, because I always thought it was a team thing, cohesion thing, friendship thing, but this year I can guarantee that wasn't part of the problem. And that's what it does, I guess, in a way. It just feel kind of one of those is what it is, which is, that's how it's gone down.
Yeah, I don't know if you listened to the No Layup guys on their rap show, but I thought Tron had a really, really smart idea, which is something I don't always say, Max. I don't always say it. I mean, occasionally Tron will hit, but, you know, like not every time. And he said that he laid out an idea of like once a year, once every 2 years, like the Ryder Cup dudes and the Walker Cup dudes meeting up and playing some like Monday after a big tournament or Monday after some tournament that's elevated or whatever it's called. You know, if you play Riv, maybe Monday, everybody goes out to LACC and you basically just kind of have a day of like American golf and you kind of team up, and maybe it's the AM guys playing the pros, or maybe you team up with an AM, but there's a level of like getting to know the young guys. And at the same time, there's a level of kind of playing this format that, I mean, listen, one day is not changing this, right? I mean, one day of golf's not changing it, but I think the idea is to get people together, personalities together, just that feel of a team environment that doesn't just pop up, you know, for you guys once a year, for the Europeans, it's once every 2 years, but you know, then you all of a sudden, you know who Gordon Sargent is and you know a little bit about him, or you get to play golf with Dunlap and you're like, yo, this kid hits it great. Like that'd be sick if he was on the team in 3 or 4 years. Do you think that's even a feasible thing? Could you see the American guys buying into something like that if it was planned out in enough time, or is that just hard with everybody's schedules?
Yeah, I'm not so sure it's feasible. However, I think the point of that example that is good is I just think maybe something more creative to like change how this has been going with the foursomes could be, I mean, just something more than just we show up and do the same stuff we normally do.
Yeah.
If in this one format, it does seem like we have a disadvantage for whatever that reason may be, I don't know the answer, but I guess maybe trying to do something outside the box potentially could work. It's hard when you get there, man. I mean, I played one alternate shot, 9 holes with Brian, so we could make sure the golf balls were okay and got a little bit more comfy just playing together and just playing alternate shot, which again, the whole point of this is the Euros do the same kind of thing. I mean, they have to get for ready sure. The way we do. But like I said, because we struggle in this one format, it seems to stick out, maybe just somebody coming up with an idea to try something different. So I'm not so sure that exact example of Tron's really would work. However, I like the idea of just maybe something unique. But the other tricky part, man, is we don't know, as they don't either. I don't know who's on the team until...
Who's going to be on the team, right.
4 weeks before we leave, so...
You'd have to bring 20 guys.
Which is what we do for Walker Cup. Walker Cup, you go on a potential practice trip. We don't go to the golf course we're going to play. We go somewhere. Everyone gets together. It's 18 guys. And it's basically at that point in time who they think will make the team. Now, there's other people that can end up coming in anyways. But I thought that was cool. But at the same time, do I think that like made us all play better? No, it's not like they're pairing us together based off who they think we'll play with. We just got paired together because that was one of the 18 other people. So I don't know. It, it's definitely something, but it's hard to get all of us able to go do something, even for the practice trip we went on. I mean, it was hard to get everybody free to do it. You're asking a lot of people with a lot going on to
for sure
make a good amount of time. But like I said, maybe just something creative maybe could pop up and we could try. But this year, at least, they just played freaking good. The Euros played awesome. I just don't know any other way to put it. They played amazing golf.
Do you think, okay, and this will be kind of the last thing on this, but do you think it would be like you, who has become a voice that people listen to, not just in pro golf, but I think within the confines of professional golfers? I feel like people are interested in what you have to say, and they realize that you're not an idiot, and you know what's going on, and you're trying to kind of forward think and things like that. Would it be on somebody like you and Jordan and Justin, or you and Scotty and Justin, to like send the text out to like 20 dudes next year and be like, hey, after Bay Hill, we're going to go to, I don't know, wherever, we're going to go to MacArthur for a day, all the potential American guys, and we're just going to hang out, bring your wives, maybe don't bring your kids, but like bring your wives, we'll have a chef, we're going to do dinner, like, because what happens is I feel like there's a captain, and the captain's responsibility is getting everybody prepped for this one thing. And I mean, you guys know what's going on. Like, I mean, like I said, you're a smart guy. These dudes on the team are smart guys. Like, they know what's going on and they know what's not going to work. Do you think it's maybe a little bit more on players, especially on the American players, to find some way to sneak in a little bit more cohesion so that when you arrive at these things, again, hard to do, Max, because you guys also have the President's Cup. The Euros don't, you know, like,
yeah.
You guys also have a 4-day event on the odd years you're not playing a Ryder Cup that you have to go do this other thing that's an obligation. So not always easy to throw in something else, but do you think it's like a player thing, like throwing a ring out and being like, who can come to this? Like, would you have any interest, or do you just feel like it's just too hard to get everybody to agree to something like that with golf and sponsorships and family and trying to get home and rest and all that stuff?
Yeah, again, kind of similar to the last one. I'm not so sure like that exact thing would work. And I'll say this. I think that the players are pretty proactive.
Okay.
Especially Justin and Jordan and Pat and Xander. I think that they are like thoughtful. They'll text you on the side. I talked to Pat last year at the President's Cup, where he was basically talking to me about the Ryder Cup, essentially like I had already made the team and getting me almost a bit ready for it. So I think the players are good about it, but I find this optimism in this group of guys hadn't lost over. Wait, there's so many young guys. They hadn't, and rookies hadn't lost over there before.
Right.
So I thought we were going to go in there and have that mindset, which I think we did. But then we did lose, and we lost pretty badly. And I think that those guys who played on the Ryder Cup last time, who rinsed them, and then now we're on this one where they saw that it wasn't the same. There's something different, whatever that might be. I can't speak to that, as I haven't been on one in America or one that we've won. I think that those guys now have some kind of template of, here's what we did wrong, here's what we can do better. And maybe there are avenues of, if I speak out more, you know, if I'm calling Morikawa, maybe he's got an idea of something he would like to have done. Or Scotty, especially somebody like Scotty, who's the best player in the world, and yet this is only his second Ryder Cup. And I say only because, you know, there's people like Jordan and Justin and Ricky and Brooks who have played on many. But our best player, that was his first one over in kind of enemy territory. I'm sure he noticed a big difference between that and the one at Whistling Straits. So maybe there's something that sticks out. But I am always very impressed with how proactive the players are. But yeah, maybe going a little bit more above and beyond. I'm just optimistic because I think everyone's pretty mad that we lost this one when we had this team that did so well last time. So I think that maybe it could heighten some thoughts. But again, I don't know what the answer is. So you're also hoping that somebody else can somehow come up with something that is like the answer. And then you have to get approval from the PGA and do all of this stuff. It's trickier than just like coming up with a plan. However, it was really cool just to see how invested all the guys were this past week and how much they wanted to win and how frustrated it was to lose. Because I think that this team, again, is so young that they will take us as a country onward to the next one in Bethpage and then the next one at Adair. Like they will take that forward. There's a lot of those guys are going to be on all of these teams for quite some time, kind of how Rory and Rahm have been for the last few, right? So I'm pretty optimistic about, you know, the guys like Sam and Scotty, Colin, just all the younger guys who are clearly going to play on all these damn things for a while.
What piece of Ryder Cup gear that you got last week will now be a part of your week-to-week travels, like head cover, yardage book, things like that?
Oh.
Have you thought about that yet?
I'm probably going to swap the yardage book back in because those things are really cool.
Okay.
I don't know if I'll use the luggage. I thought about it today. It feels a little odd to use it.
Did Lacey get those Nike sneakers? Did they send those out to the wives, or did she get those special made? Those were sweet.
Mark Blackburn got my team a bunch of the Jordans, and then nice. We were gifted Jordans as well. So it's pretty awesome. I don't know which Jordans. One she was wearing that you're referring to, but she, yeah. So we got so much stuff, so much cool stuff. But yeah, most of it I will use again. Like the shirts I like to wear when we like practice, or the hats, like when I'm practicing at home. Yeah, so we're lucky. You get so much shit, man. It is outrageous.
All right, best shot you hit last week. You have one that comes to mind?
I have the three iron or the five iron. One of the shots on 12 on Saturday.
That you almost made double eagle?
Yeah, two in a row. Times. I hit the five iron in the morning round was very good. The three iron was awesome just because you're not expecting to do that a second time. That was... I can't pick between those two, but it was on the 12th hole.
Do we need more match play in men's pro golf, do you think?
Need, no. It's not nearly as entertaining. Like the Austin event that we had, I mean, as much fun as it is, it just doesn't come through on TV. It's the passion of the Ryder Cup that comes through. I don't think it's match play. I don't think it's really even teams. It's like something in the heart and soul of what it is. So, no. I do think that, like, we play alt shot now at home a lot more because it's just more fun. You were part of this. Like, our E9s now, like, yep. We like to go play alt shot or something unique.
Let's not talk about that.
No, we tied, so it's all good.
It's the worst decision of my life.
It's not the best. So just, like, things like that would be cool to see more of. But, again, like, I don't think that's going to change the entertainment aspect of anything. It's just a Ryder Cup. It's special. It's one of those things I don't think we need to overthink it.
Okay.
But I like watching the different formats, even though I know the Zurich ratings wise doesn't like kill it. It is really cool that we get to play alt shot. Like, it's so much fun to do something different. But at the end of the day, like, our job is to be, is to just play good. I just need to play good golf. Colin just needs to play good golf. Like, so yeah, it's fun to link up for a week. But at the end of the day, it means so little to the grand scheme of our season or career, that it's hard to say that we should just keep doing more of that. And match play in particular, like, listen, I had a very good record this past week, but like, if I was playing other people on that particular day or with another partner, like, I may not have won.
Right.
Things have to work out really nicely. If you look at just Data Golf posted it today, like the strokes gained, that the best they could do, plus how many points you accrued, like, that's not a perfect science. And we do play in a pretty cool game where 69 is better than 70 and 68 is better than 69. And it's as close to a perfect system of that's just who's better. Where if you start getting into match play, one guy plays terrible, you shoot 6 over, he shoots 7, you move on. And the guy that lost that day shot 10 under because the other guy shot 11. It starts to, I just don't know if it's great. Again, if it was more entertaining, I would say yes, why not? But I just haven't seen it be overwhelmingly entertaining to just change what we do.
By the way, you brought up something, Max, that I think is the move we just were talking about, that we couldn't figure out a solution. You know how, like, the BMW PGA paired all the Euro guys together?
Yeah.
Maybe Ryder Cup years, the PGA of America or the captain, whoever's like, here are the teams that are playing together at the Zurich. Like,
damn, that would be
you're
sick.
Playing with this guy. Yeah, like these are the guys that are, like, you guys are likely going to be on the team. You guys are playing for 4 days together.
That'd be sick.
I mean, you've played with Colin the last, what, couple of years together, right?
Just last year. But yeah, that's not actually a terrible idea. Again, they did good. They had the BMW 2 weeks before the Ryder Cup.
No, I know. Maybe move to Zurich. Maybe
it's so much easier. I know. Maybe move to Zurich.
Maybe move to Zurich. Maybe it's a playoff event.
Like I said, it's anything outside the box. I'm down to go, like, to look into and see something fun like that. Luke Dahl did an amazing job because those pairings and the DP World Tour, those pairings came out and you don't think much of it. And then you find out that all those guys are going to end up being partners at some point that week. And it was brilliant. But it was also nice to have that opportunity where our season ends 2 weeks prior to that. So, like, what were we going to do? I'll make sure that we were tied going into East Lake so that we could all get an extra round in. You know, it's tough to make that work like that.
It's pretty funny. Yeah. Like Brian Harmon calls a penalty on himself. Yeah, so we get back to even.
Exactly.
So you guys are tied. You had a great glow up this past week. Sunday, Joe breaking out the no hat and the hair flow. Max, I didn't realize he had that much cabbage. The dude's got a nice head of hair.
Yeah, he better, because he's got a big old head. He needs a lot of hair to cover up all the square footage of.
Look good though. He had it looking good.
Dome he's got. We all wanted. I mean, there was a discussion about everybody go no hat. Yours truly and some others are a bit insecure about the top of their head. So, Joe Bandy decided to go no hat.
It's nice of Joe.
He was very concerned about how sunburned he was getting, because that's not something we ever do, is be outside for 5 hours with no hat on. But I thought he rocked it. He looked really good. He killed it.
Good.
So if I was Joe and I had hair like him, I think I'd never wear a hat. So I was glad that he got to show that off.
All right. Last thing, I asked you for this. So recently, I don't know if you've been following the news much lately, but Taylor Swift has been in the news. Have you seen this with Travis Kelce? You seen any of this at all?
Oh, is that Travis Kelce's girlfriend? Is that Taylor
Swift?
Yeah.
So they've apparently been dating, or maybe they're dating. It's not much on television, so you probably missed it. I don't know if they're doing that in Italy, but I was thinking about this. Let's say this relationship doesn't work out, Max. Let's say, you know, and I mean, fingers crossed. I mean, I'm always rooting for true love. Let's say Travis and Taylor break up, and let's say Taylor Swift wants to venture in to the professional golfer's world. I asked you to put together a list of who you think are the top three likely golfers for Taylor to date. And I have a list as well. I'm imagining there's some crossover here. My one issue is, you know who's like seriously dating people better than I do.
Yeah.
And I don't know that. So if I say somebody that has like a long-term but probably going to get engaged soon girlfriend, you can let me know. But I left married people off. I thought that was a fair way to go about
Very
it.
Very nice of you. So here's the deal. I researched it. I went through the list of players. What I landed on is, one, there are very few single dudes.
Top 20 is crazy. Maybe like two or three dudes that aren't married in the top 20.
But I also, because of that, landed on the fact that there is not a list. There is only one option that makes sense. And it is you would never make a list of things if there was one glaringly obvious, and it's Victor Hovland.
Same one on top of my list, Victor Hovland.
Victor Hovland is on top of the world at the moment, as she is as well. He is single. He is, as all the girls say, so adorable. I am told this.
Yep.
Every time there is a younger like female volunteer or cart driver at Augusta, they all of them ask me, "Can you introduce me to Victor Hovland?" It is outrageous. And thirdly, or whatever number I'm on, most importantly, hopefully she can change his taste in music.
So that's what I wrote down though, Max. Yeah. That was my one thing with Victor. He was obviously my number one as well. I'm with you. He takes the top spot. And the problem is like Taylor comes in and says, "Vic, do you mind listening to some of my music?" I fear for what he'd say back, because if we've learned anything, it's pretty intense.
My question is, think about the Swifties and how scary that group of people are. If Victor somehow got her to start playing different music, like heavy metal, would the Swifties become headbanging
for sure
musical fans, or would they kill Victor?
Absolutely. Well, it's actually, I guess B is an option. Yeah. I mean, I think they just buy into whatever she's throwing
out. Okay.
So I think if it was like really deathy, heavy, whatever, what did Rory say in that video? This sounds like the devil.
Yeah, it is.
It's like, if that's the case, and like Taylor's just kind of like harmonizing in the background, maybe it's just a beautiful mix. Maybe that's what the world needs. Like, a lot of new music sounds old as we get older. Like, maybe that's what we're looking for. A new genre.
Maybe like a little, she could remix all her songs. She would marry me, Satan. You'll never have to be alone. It's like little things.
And it's just like,
yeah.
I did have Ludwig on the list. Is that not an option?
Oh, that's good. I do think he's got a girlfriend.
Okay. And I had Wyndham Clark, but I think he's got a serious girlfriend. Not married though, right?
Wyndham's got a girlfriend, yeah.
Yeah.
Not married.
Yeah. And I mean, but Victor's the only answer here. Okay, good. I'm glad we're on the same page.
I think Victor's the guy.
By the way, I did reach out to our resident golf Taylor Swifty crossover person, Claire Rogers, on this, and she named a few married people, but landed on this as well. She said it was going to be Victor and Victor only. So
okay.
I feel better about our picks as long as Claire says the same thing.
As long as she agrees, I'm all in then.
Max, I've taken way too much of your time. I asked you a Dodgers question on the front, and I'll ask you a Lakers question on the back end. Where does the Lakers season end? Where does it end?
Oh, man.
Does it end in the finals? Does it end in the Western Conference finals? Does it end with AD on the sideline in dress clothes, watching LeBron and Reeves have to carry this team to like the second round? Like, where are we at?
It still feels like it may end in Denver.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
Reeves commented on your IG post, by the way. I mean,
yeah, I've gotten actually pretty somewhat friendly with him and Alex Caruso. It's kind of hilarious. I do believe this stupid rule that we can't rest our players anymore. No more load management. I need that for my team. I need that for my team.
It's kind of crushing the Lakers. It's like the number one team that needs to rest people.
So I think if like they showed at the end of last year that team is plenty good enough. They did not have a ton of reps together to be able to mix and match at the end of the season in the playoffs because they only had a month together prior. AD gets hurt obviously a lot, and LeBron is I don't know how he's still doing it, but he is bound to get hurt at least a little bit. He's an older gentleman at this point. If they both stay healthy at the right times, at the end of the year, and the rest of the team can do what they did at the end of the year, I don't see why they can't make the finals or win it. But I just don't know how you beat, from what I watched last year, how the hell do you beat the Nuggets? I know the Suns keep getting better, but they make some, we don't know what we're going to see from that yet.
Right.
Or get from that yet. We know what the Nuggets are. And that was like the scariest team I've seen in forever.
Such a complete team.
It's a complete team. So I don't know. I would say, of course, they have the possibility of winning the finals. Again, if somebody on Denver gets hurt, you never know. I mean, that's the unfortunate with their sport and football, like so much of it comes to injuries. So I'm not going to say they can't, but if you were just going to go gut reaction, I would just probably say it most likely ends in Denver and hopefully with a couple more games than it was last time.
Are your clubs still in your travel case?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I know you, and I know you're going to like say you're not going to play golf for 2 weeks. Then you're going to go play it like
probably Saturday.
Whisper. Yeah. 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 So, I mean, like, do you have a rule? Like,
I have to go do it.
Has Lacey implemented like you're not playing golf
no,
for a week or something?
She likes when I leave the house. she needs me out here and there. I have to do something tomorrow, work thing. So I probably won't hit any balls, but I need to bring my clubs. And then I have something Sunday that I will be hitting golf balls. So I will be hitting a golf ball by Monday, no later.
Okay. Is Cam like walking and stuff yet?
No, man. He's crawling around. He's late to the walking party. But I don't know. When did Henry start walking? I've heard it's around a year.
Yeah, Henry was around a year. See, Henry didn't crawl.
Oh, he skipped that.
He hated crawling. So like, yeah, I mean, it's just funny because like you measure all your stuff on other kids and then you realize like 2 years into it that like, why do we do this? It's so stupid. Yeah. Like they'll get to do what they get to do when they do it right. I mean, remember when we were younger and it's like, that guy's got a beard and I don't, I wish I could grow facial hair. And then you're like, you get to be 30 and you're like, nobody cares. Not like somebody comes up to you and goes, somebody said that to me, Max, about the amateur. They were like, cause I mean, obviously didn't play good at the amateur. And they were like, you know what the good news is? Somebody's going to come up to you and be like, hey, have you played in the US amateur? It's like, yeah. They're like, did you make match play or not? Like nobody ever asked you like what you shot, right? It's like, oh, you played on it? Sick. Did you make match play? No. Okay, cool. Like there, would you shoot stroke play? Like nobody cares.
Yeah.
It's like, nope. The kid thing is like all of our own insecurities are on that stuff. You know, it's like, he should be crawling. He should be walking. And it's like, these kids do it. And then they do it nonstop.
For
like
sure.
Charlotte's been walking for a while. And like, now she's kind of yapping and it's like super fun. I mean,
that's cool.
She's like talking all the time. All I do is sit in front of her and try to have her say Harlow. She has no interest, but it's like every single day in front of her. But man, Cam's going to be one crazy dude. Time flies. Max, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for everything. Good chatting with you. Hey, congrats on a great week. It was super fun to see it. I love watching the big putts in the hat celebration and maybe Adair Manor is, what are you going to be at Adair Manor? What's that, 4 years from now? How old are you?
36.
36. I mean, you're on.
Well,
you got it.
We'll see. I'm gonna push myself to do that. That is the new goal. So I will push myself to make sure I at least have a chance to make that team. So we'll see.
There you go. Thanks, Max.
Thank you.
All righty. A big thanks to Max for his time. Obviously, coming back from the Ryder Cup, and he jumps right on this podcast. He was also on No Laying Up. Mentioned it in the episode, but make sure you listen to Max with the NLU boys as well, because that's always great to hear. Hope you guys have a great weekend. If you're looking for golf, just a reminder, Korn Ferry Tour Finals will be on TV all through the weekend. That'll be on Golf Channel. You can follow us. We'll be covering it. And, you know, I love doing the KFT, and I've loved it all year, and this is our final event. So check that out, and we'll be back with you next week.